Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our compassionate Lord and Savior, who always wraps his arms around those who repent of their sins. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are you a compassionate person? Before you answer that question, let's make sure that we're all on the same page when it comes to the word compassion. Compassion is sorrow for the sufferings or troubles of another, accompanied by an urge to help. Most of us would probably consider ourselves to be a compassionate person. Most of us would probably want others to consider us to be a compassionate person, especially when we stop to consider that the opposite of compassion is cruel, heartless, and sympathetic. For most of us, it's not difficult to be compassionate, is it? When someone we love or someone we know is going through a difficult time in their life, we automatically have compassion for them. When we watch the news and see people who are victims of crime, or victims of war, or victims of natural disasters, even if we don't know who they are, we still have compassion for them. It certainly doesn't surprise us that our God is the God of perfect compassion. Over and over again, Scripture reveals to us that our God is filled with sorrow for the sufferings and troubles of us poor, mortal, sinful human beings. Over and over again, Scripture reveals to us that our God overflows with an urge to help us. Because our God is the God of perfect compassion, our sermon text for this morning doesn't surprise us at all. Mark not only reveals to us that Jesus' heart was absolutely filled with compassion, but Mark also helps us to gain an even deeper understanding of what makes a ministry a meaningful ministry. Combining those two truths, let's study our text for this morning under the theme, Meaningful Ministry. Jesus models a shepherd's compassionate heart. Our text for today takes place between two dramatically important events. Just prior to our text, Mark records the execution of John the Baptist. Directly after our text, Mark records how Jesus miraculously fed over 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. In between those two dramatic, important events, Mark tells us today, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Here we see that Jesus' heart was filled with compassion for his disciples. The disciples had just returned from their very first solo mission trip, and they were eager to inform Jesus, to proclaim to Jesus all the things they had accomplished and all the things that they had taught. Even though the disciples were undoubtedly very tired from their mission trip, they wanted to share with Jesus how the authority that he had given to them not only enabled them to proclaim that powerful message of repentance, but the authority that he had given to them enabled them to back up their message with miraculous signs and wonders. At the very same time, the disciples had undoubtedly heard about the execution of John the Baptist. This would have had a powerful impact on these men. You may recall that two disciples, John and Andrew, started out as disciples of John the Baptist and then became disciples of Jesus of Nazareth. All the disciples were grieving at the news of John's death. Some of the disciples may have also started to wonder to themselves, if this is what happens when someone faithfully proclaims a message of repentance, do I really want to go out and continue proclaiming that message? Jesus' compassion for his disciples led him to see just how much his excited and yet grieving disciples needed to spend a little quiet time with their Lord. And so when the crowds became so overwhelming that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus knew what he had to do. In compassion, he said to his disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus spoke those very same words to you and to me? We all know that there are times in our lives when the events of our life are simply overwhelming us. Here we might automatically think of the not so positive things that happen in our life, like the disciples here in our text, when someone we know, when someone we love, when someone that we look up to and admire dies. We can be overwhelmed by grief. There is the grief that comes with the inescapable passage of time. The older we get, the more we realize that our body and or our mind simply does not work the way that the good Lord designed it to work. When people are still young, they might be overwhelmed by concerns like, what am I going to do after I graduate from high school? What am I going to do when I graduate from college? Will I be able to find a good, steady, stable job? Will I be able to find that right person to spend the rest of my life with? What burdens are you bearing, my friends? While our burdens might be hidden from others, Jesus sees them all. He knows all of our hidden hurts, the secret hurts that we try to keep everyone else from finding out about. And not only does Jesus know them, not only does Jesus see them, but Jesus' heart is filled with compassion for us because of them. As your compassionate Savior, Jesus has the power to heal your hurts. As your compassionate shepherd, you are extremely important to him. So always remember, there is nothing too big for Jesus to take care of, and there is nothing too small for Jesus to be concerned about. The one who has already conquered death for you and given to you the free gift of eternal life, he can conquer the everyday problems that you face in your life. The one who knows each and every star by name. The one who watches over the flight of even the lowly sparrow is the one whose heart is filled with so much compassion for you that he extends to you the very same invitation that he extended to his disciples so many years ago. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Where is a quiet place where we can spend some time with Jesus? Where is the quiet place where Jesus himself can give us rest? Sometimes it's in the privacy of our own homes. Every time we sit down to read and study our Bibles, we are spending some quiet time with Jesus, and he gives us the rest that only he can give. Sometimes the quiet place is right here in God's holy house. The Sunday morning worship service gives us an opportunity to unplug. Unplug from all the chaos, unplug from all the static, unplug from all of the busyness of our day-to-day life, and spend some quiet time with Jesus. Even though we gather together with brothers and sisters in the faith, here in God's house, our compassionate Savior spends quality time with us as individuals. He personally forgives all of our sins. He personally speaks to us through his holy inspired word. He personally comes to us through his holy supper. So if ever, whenever you are feeling overwhelmed by what's going on in your life, listen to your compassionate shepherd as he says to you, "Come spend some quiet time with me." Or as he says in our text, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. The second portion of our text reveals to us that the compassion that Jesus felt for his excited and yet grieving disciples also extended to others. Look what Mark tells us. But many who saw them leaving, recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Here is where we find the heart of this text. He had compassion on them. As a noun, the word that is translated here as compassion refers to someone's inner parts, the seat of their emotion. As a verb, this same word is translated as to have compassion, to feel sympathy. My personal favorite translation of this very same word is found in Luke chapter 7. Remember when Jesus was heading into the city of Nain? What happened? He met a widow. A widow who was preparing to bury her only son. Luke then tells us, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said to her, "Don't cry." Then he raised her son back to life. When Jesus saw this large crowd, he had compassion on them. He was filled with sympathy for them. His heart went out to them. Why? Mark tells us, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Sadly, many of the religious teachers and leaders of God's people in this day and age, they were not all that different from the shepherds that the Lord condemned in our Old Testament reading for today. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus condemned the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and he described them as blind guides. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus condemned the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and described them as hypocrites and as whitewashed tombs. Because the spiritual leaders of God's people had failed God's people, Jesus' compassionate heart led him to do something. And what was that? Mark tells us, so he began teaching them many things. Well, Mark does not give us any details here. Luke does. Luke tells us, he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Here we once again see how Jesus' compassionate heart is revealed in both the words that he spoke and in the actions that he took. The example of a meaningful ministry that God the Holy Spirit places before us today, this, my friends, is the example that we need to strive to follow. A meaningful ministry is a ministry that strives to reflect his compassionate heart to others. How do we do this? Let me give you two suggestions. First, as we strive to follow the model that Jesus gives to us here in our text, we strive to make sure that our ministry is a meaningful ministry by showing compassion to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Here would be a very good time for us to remember that our compassionate shepherd says to us through his servant Paul, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." The meaningful ministry that God has given to us is what enables us to be kind or merciful. It enables us to be compassionate or tender-hearted toward each other, even if, or especially when, someone sins against us. The meaningful ministry that God has given to us also empowers us to remember that compassionate words and compassionate actions go hand in hand. This means that we don't simply have love. We don't simply talk about love, but we openly live our life in a way that reflects God's love to each other. It's a very simple yet wonderful truth, my friends. We are both compassionate and caring toward each other because He is compassionate and caring toward us. This compassion and this caring apply on both a physical level as well as on a spiritual level. Our compassion enables us to pay close attention to someone, to truly listen to them, to heartfully feel for them, and then openly respond with acts of mercy. Our compassion enables us to talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. It enables us to counsel each other and encourage each other with the counsel and the encouragement that we have received from Him through His holy inspired word. Second, following the model that Jesus gives to us here in our text, we strive to make sure that our ministry is a meaningful ministry by striving to show compassion to people who are outside the family of believers. Like the large crowd that had gathered around Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, there are many people today who fit the Lord's description. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Many people today, my friends, are hurting, and they are lost, not only on a physical level, but especially on a spiritual level. And as we emphasized last week, one of the ways in which we can show someone that we are concerned about their spiritual needs is by showing them that we are concerned about their physical needs. This includes letting the compassion that we feel in our heart be revealed in the actions of our everyday life. While this is a very easy thing to say, it's not always an easy thing to do, is it? It means that we overcome our selfishness and get rid of our pride. It means that we get rid of our prejudice and that we exercise our Christ-likeness. Very simply, it means that we strive to be like Him in both our words and our actions. Compassion. Compassion is sorrow for the suffering or troubles of others. Compassion is accompanied by an urge to help. May God grant that our ministry will always be a meaningful ministry as we strive to follow the model that our perfect, compassionate shepherd has made for us. To God be the glory. Amen.